Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. No more ranch or blue. We're not divided along those lines anymore today. Nope. It has simmered down here, and thankfully so, because we do have to get back. We're just having, I think, a conversation that I really want to get into coming up next about where we're at with college football on a lot of fronts. This news out of Oklahoma, what we've seen from Trevor Lawrence and a lot of these other players stepping up over the course of the last few months has been inspiring in a lot of ways and really uncomfortable in a lot of other ways. And so we'll touch on that. We got something for One and Done later on in the show. But today, as we look forward to tonight in the NBA, it's getting really interesting. And we've had these conversations about Giannis's future in Milwaukee for years, but we finally seem like we're at that inflection point, right, where it's happening in the postseason again. The Bucks are struggling there. Giannis, we know, going into tonight, potentially injured if he's even going to play. It feels like there's a lot more on the line than maybe anyone could have expected going into this series this early in the playoffs for them.
Yeah, I think we sort of were optimistic, you know, thinking that in the first round versus the Orlando Magic, there are just some bumps in the road. This is a team that's still trying to, you know, figure out their stride before they really start looking like their well-oiled machine that we had seen through 82 games in the regular season. But now there's like some real realities that we're all discovering. Giannis Antetokounmpo, likely to be, you know, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. There's no longer, and you bring up the great point of LeBron James in the East, where it's like he's the great neutralizer. You have hopes and dreams neutralized. Does that make him Thanos?
I think that does make him. Again, for anyone that's not familiar, Jhené has not seen the entire Marvel comic book universe set of movies, and so she's making this reference blindly, but actually, I think hitting on this one. So yes,
sweet.
you've gotten that one correct. LeBron's a few Infinity Stones short of having the full fist on this, but he's working on that.
So that makes sense. So now it's more so a wide open race in the East, especially with teams playing well. Like, people believe the Celtics can make it. People sort of thought the Raptors can make it. The Miami Heat have always been underdogs, but people that can compete and knock you off. And I think the Bucks are clearly discovering this in real time. But the pressure was so much on Giannis for him to deliver, you know, not just win MVP, but also win in the playoffs. But now that dynamic is sort of shifting, because now we're thinking, is his supporting cast good enough? You know, we had the whole Scottie Pippen type of conversations. But overall, Giannis is a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-franchise type of talent. But now he's removed from the equation. What remains? The Bucks have an opportunity here. We're going to find out hopefully soon whether he plays or not. The Bucks have an opportunity to show that they have value in real time in a game where, when their backs were against the wall, they delivered. Chris Middleton delivered. They dug down and competed. But this isn't just about one game here. This is about a perception that you show to your star in Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're the ones that you can be successful with. It's going to be a tall task versus the Heat with, you know, facing elimination again. But if Milwaukee can rewrite some history here, that would be a huge moment, not only for Giannis to think these are the guys that can, you know, help me win a championship now and give me time to be back from injury, but also win a championship, or championships plural, in the future.
It's Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Jhené, I think looking at it like this, because what they've done and accomplished, all of those pieces together, what that organization with Giannis has done in the regular season has been noteworthy. Giannis winning two MVPs more than likely in back-to-back years is noteworthy. But we know in relationships you're defined by a few select moments, right? We talk about being at the beginning of a work marriage here. If you're dating someone and they're great on the day-to-day and they do all the right things and they hold the doors and all that, but all of a sudden they balk when it comes to the birthday, they meet the parents for the first time and they're stumbling all over themselves. You look at those key moments and you weight those a little bit more, the kind of like we've looked at the last couple of postseasons for Giannis and the Bucks, and said, all right, when it really counts, am I in a position with someone I can trust enough going forward to really invest long term? And I can understand Giannis having those questions. Not that they haven't tried in earnest, but that the effort just hasn't been good enough. And I think that's okay to admit.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because you say when it really counts. And I always think, you know, we might be like on day 26 of the show here. Like, day 26 is a great group. And one of their songs is When It Really Counts. Like, are we in this together? Like, are we in this together? Is it just Giannis and this tremendous talent, and also Chris Middleton, first time all-star playing like an all-star, and everyone else? Is that enough to be dominant in this league? Or is there something more? And is this a lifetime type of thing? And I love your analogy there.
Well, and Shanae, I think it's interesting because we've seen examples of a lot of different versions of this around the league, right? Like, we've got Dame Lillard out in Portland, who, no disrespect to CJ McCollum, but Dame is clearly the name, clearly the one on that team, and he has decided, I'm going to stick with it out here, I'm going to try and make it work out here. Almost everyone else, I mean, hell, the arms race that we saw for Kawhi Leonard this last summer, where even LeBron James was trying to work to get that dude on his team because he understands what it takes to win in this league. Like, I think that's the reason that we judge guys like Giannis so harshly on these kind of decisions and why there is so much pressure around it, because, I mean, hell, Jimmy Butler's another example. He went to Miami, and we looked at that as he didn't want it bad enough because he wasn't joining up with another superstar. Like, it feels bizarro world to say.
Yeah, it does. But now you're looking at Jimmy, and Jimmy has the last laugh because he bought himself in on the surrounding, like the culture and the ability to develop and build together. And that's one decision, you know, but it's going to be hard. You see how well the Heat have played for them to perform and to take down the Bucks, including Giannis, and to sustain that against a Celtics team that, you see what they did to them, Raptors?
No. Oof.
Yeah, to sustain that, it's not going to be an easy feat. And that's why I think it all comes back to Giannis. He is a tremendous talent. He has so much pressure. There's so much more expectation based on the accolades that he's likely to receive. And now it's not just one game that's in the balance. It's the future of a franchise, and I will explain that more, especially when we get to One and Done.
Ooh, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And you know what, Shanae, it reminds me of something that we talked about the other day, that pressure that's unique to Giannis, because right, wrong, or indifferent, because of his ability, because of his stature, likability, and what he's accomplished, we have put him in that category of dude where we expect, like, the standard isn't just you go out there and win. It's you become like LeBron. You become like Kawhi. You become these guys that have been faces of the league and all this. So everything you do has got a little bit more weight than if Jimmy Butler or Paul George or anyone else decides to do it. And that puts a different pressure on a guy, and especially now for him, because his health is in the balance here. We know Giannis has that sprained ankle. It was, you know, bad. They played over 40 minutes without him on the court in that last game, another do-or-die game that they pulled out. And now the question became, should he even be back on the court going into Game 5 tonight? Our own Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, talked about some of his concerns for Giannis potentially being on the court tonight.
Giannis is going to play, but I'm really scared. Think about how Giannis plays. When you see Giannis drive, Giannis will Eurostep you from the free throw line, right? Just hear me out. When you Eurostep somebody, we see Giannis do this all the time. He can step through traffic. Think about how many times you're planting your feet down in the midst of traffic. It increases the opportunity for you to roll your ankle again, especially when you play at the speed Giannis plays at, and he's constantly doing that because he doesn't have the ability to knock down a jump shot. Something else I will say, why do you think Giannis has been shooting so many jump shots? He's been shooting jump shots because he hasn't been able to go off that ankle. That's why he's been settling. So now you get into this thing, you know, what is Giannis playing? Does that hinder this team? Because also, when he plays, they don't move around the same. Everybody waits for Giannis to do something to play off the drive. The reason why they played better last time is because they had better continuity, hence Chris Middleton being able to do his thing.
Now, I don't think I put that on Giannis. Like, that's on the rest of his team. We've seen that happen with LeBron James teams a lot, where people end up just ball watching. Like, it's your job to still go out there and work. But, Shanae, any of those fears about the injury lessen the idea for you that he should be out there or he will be out there on the court tonight?
I mean, that's the beauty of having Dominique Wilkins, Hall of Famer, on here. It's all subjective to the player. If Giannis really wants to play and in some fashion risk it all by playing, he will do that. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to be protected by the organization that will jump in, because we all are competitors. We all want to play. But I do think playing it safe is the best case here. Your team, I mean, they found something with you off. And I know that's a tough pill to digest, but there is still hope. Even if you go out and play limited minutes or you don't play at all, this team has enough confidence to feel like they can step on the court and compete. And to me, that's far, far more than what you had before, where you guys were still having an identity crisis. And I think that's a blessing in disguise here. And Jay alluded to it. When Giannis was on the floor, everyone would watch and wait, and they weren't playing basketball. They were just watching the tremendous talent. Now you have no choice but to ball for two reasons. If Giannis plays, you know, you have to ball with him. If he doesn't play, you still have to ball because you're facing elimination. So there's literally, we're at the point of no regrets, no turning back. And if I'm Giannis, I am playing it safe just because I know this game means a lot to your championship aspirations, but what you mean to the game for the years to come probably means even more.
That is, it's so interesting to me because what you just said there is absolutely right, and it makes a lot of sense in so many ways, and I know no one publicly would be able to handle that, right? Like, if he did assign a scribe to all those beliefs, like, no one would give him credit for that. It would be slander for him not wanting to be out there and not wanting it bad enough. Like, it'd be all the usual chorus of things that we unfortunately hear in these situations. Chenan Golic Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers battle the Rockets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But we know the NFL coming up on Thursday. We've talked a lot about that leading up. But what we had in the last couple of days is interesting. Tell you why two contracts signed in recent days made things awful hot and uncomfortable in the state of Texas.
Oh, no.
We'll get to that next. It's Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we have to ask the most important pressing question of the day.
Ooh.
To our great ESPN NFL reporter, insider extraordinaire, Diana Russini, who's going to join us here on Chenan Golic Jr. about the hottest topic of the day. I have seen athletes across this great world of sports weighing in on it. I feel like we have held off for long enough. We will not be able to hold off very soon. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Penn's Oil Performance Line. We'll get to that in just a second. Chenan Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. And Chenan, there's a couple guys that don't have to worry about money right now anymore. We talked about Deshaun Watson signing a big-time extension with the Houston Texans the other day, and a former Texan, DeAndre Hopkins, reached a deal with the Arizona Cardinals. He signs a two-year extension worth $54.5 million with $42.5 million guaranteed,
man.
Sources confirm to ESPN. Dear God, so this keeps him in Arizona for 5 years through 2024 and is $94 million in total for an average of $18.8 million a year.
That might be one of my new side piece teams, too. Can I have more than one?
I mean, I think technically you're allowed to kind of do what you want there. Like, as long as you always come back home to Bay, I feel like if it's in the agreement, then you can go out there and do as you please. Again, the kind of the Brad Pitt rule on all this.
Yeah, I'm interested in Kyler Murray. I'm interested in Larry Fitzgerald and everyone out there. So I think this is a good payday. But my number one, clearly, are my Texans. And I do appreciate us paying our QB, but I do know it has great implications throughout our state.
Well, it does, and I think the interesting part here is it's got to be kind of awkward for Texans fans to see DeAndre Hopkins getting paid somewhere else, because you assumed a player of that caliber you would move heaven and earth to keep on your team with that same star quarterback. So
why are you trying to do this to me?
I'm just saying it feels kind of weird. So, like, that's already uncomfortable. But then, Chenan, imagine being the Cowboys right now watching all this.
Ooh.
Like, you're sitting across there in Dallas looking in this season. You signed everyone and their mama this offseason except for Dak Prescott. And now the other guy, because they were kind of waiting. After that Mahomes deal, we were looking at Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott kind of going, all right, who's going to blink first on this one? And now the ante got upped in a very serious way in Dallas.
Yeah, it really did. And you know what's interesting? I was looking at it, and over the last 18 months, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Pat Mahomes, and now Watson have all signed new deals. So the percentage of those deals, that number, ooh, what is it? Like, the wallet, is it getting heavy? You can't even write that on a check. Like, you really can't.
No. You can't get that anywhere. And now the difficult part becomes Dak Prescott. And this, I'm glad you mentioned all of those names, because when we saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes, it's the outlier. Having the guy who's the consensus best at what he does
get paid
to that level is obvious for everyone. Now, to the, you know, the tune of like a baseball contract and almost half a billion, that's a little bit abnormal. But everyone goes, yeah, I get it. For the rest of those guys, Jared Goff especially, Carson Wentz, who's had some injury issues, people look at those contracts and go, yeah, well, of course, that's not the best quarterback. They might not be top five quarterbacks, but they're in that top 10 range that gets you paid when you're up next. And for some reason, the Dallas Cowboys have decided that that wasn't how they're going to operate this year. And so now, Chenan, they're in that interesting conundrum, and one I love, where what if this season that we can go out and see Dak Prescott build on a great offensive output with Kellen Moore last year, and all of a sudden he throws for like 5,000 yards, and they win maybe a playoff game or two but fall short of the Super Bowl, and now Dallas is looking at Dak, and he's kicked his feet up on Jerry Jones' desk and is going to throw a blank check out there and say, I got a number in mind for you, and Dallas is going to be helpless in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's outline this. In your estimation, What is the best case scenario? And let's not like just say Super Bowl win, but like what is the best case scenario here, considering the price tag that literally is going up for the Cowboys, in your opinion?
Well, for the Cowboys, it really is you win the Super Bowl in this situation, because if you don't win the Super Bowl this year, what's going to happen is you're going to likely, if you get far enough or close enough to even get to that point, Dak has probably played pretty well. Well enough to warrant either a second round of the franchise tag, which can cost you about $38 million, yep, or an extension that might cost you even more than that at this point. And the rest of your team is structured in a way where that's going to gut you financially with how the cap looks next year. And so if you don't get to the Super Bowl and you don't have that hardware to show for going all in on this season and all those other ways, you're either going to have to pay him all that money and potentially gut the rest of that team, or let him walk in free agency, and then now what are you doing? You're sitting there with Andy Dalton on your roster and a lot of questions.
Worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario for the Cowboys. Worst case scenario for the Cowboys is kind of what I just described, is you go out and Dak does great statistically for him and you do well. Like maybe you win the NFC East and you get into the playoffs and lose where they have in the last few years in that first or second round, and all of a sudden it's even less clear. Like anywhere in the middle, if you had Dak bottom out, and I said it's in a weird spot for them, because they're almost rooting against his success. Like, if Dak were to bottom out and be terrible this year, it'd be easy to say, we're not going to pay this guy, yep, or we're going to get his number down so much that we're comfortable with it. But, man, if he does well and you do anything short of winning a Super Bowl, you've got some tough questions to ask.
You know what's really funny? Because when I go back home to Texas and I talk to all my, you know, Texans fans and then also Cowboys fans, because it's like one or the other, or sort of both. Like, everyone has, you're a fan of the Texans, but you're also like have a take and you're just as invested in the Cowboys. That's the duality of being from the South. It's funny because everyone just says, you know, Jerry will always pay players that respect the star, but there comes boundaries to that payment. And also, it's also cool to see how a player can sort of put the pressure on the franchise. Because if you look at what's sort of manifested over the last few months, Dak hasn't stepped too far out of his comfort zone. He has done, for the most part, what Jerry wants. Led, acknowledged, even the social justice moment. And now, I mean, if you look at, you know, last season, he's proving to trend in the right direction, where if he can have a better season, they are Super Bowl made. So now the pressure, it's nice to not really say that it's completely on Dak. It's on Jerry, because if this is a recipe for success, at the end of the day, you're going to be put in a position where the payday is on you, not on the player. And that's why I always think it's interesting, because everything is bigger and better in Texas, and it has applied to the bottom line especially.
Absolutely. And Jerry Jones wants it that way. Like, he courts the circus around this team, but he also knows, and you just mentioned it, the clock is ticking on Jerry. Like, he knows that in this situation, his window is not necessarily completely open. He doesn't have the super long runway in here, and so all of this becomes a little more dire. Jerry was on 105.3 The Fan earlier and said, there have been no surprises with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson's contract. There's no doubt what others paid comes into play. On Dak Prescott, he said, he's had an outstanding camp. I think he's going to have a huge year. And, like, that's kind of the position you're in at this point. So it's going to be uncomfortable, I think, potentially with Dak there. Certainly, and we'll get into in a little bit, some comments that Jerry Jones made surrounding the anthem. That's always a spicy topic down in Dallas with that organization in particular. And actually, maybe the most coherent he's been on this subject. I don't know if the response has necessarily been as welcoming as we'd like, but that is 2020 and what comes with the territory.
True.
But coming up next, we'll get to a lot of the other news around the NFL and some that was broken by our very next guest. We'll get to that after this word from 303 Protectant. See, just like your skin, the sun's harmful UV rays can be damaging to your vehicle too. 303 Protectants keep vinyl, rubber, and plastic surfaces from fading, cracking, and deteriorating over time. Simply spray on and wipe dry for protection that lasts up to 30 days. Use it on your dashboard, your console, your leather seats, hell, even your tires. 303 has been the trusted brand for over 40 years, and they're the official car care products of the Mecum Auctions. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts, visit 303automotive.com for more information. The most pressing question of the day with Diana Rossini next on Chanae and Golic Jr.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The most important question in the world of sports is about to get answered, and we got just the woman to help us out and do it. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. And it's time now to be joined by our ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Rossini, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And Diana, as we get ready for the kickoff of the NFL season Thursday night, you asked the most pressing question on Twitter, so now I have to ask it to you. Who was the first person to text you and ask about OBJ today?
The first person that reached out to me about it was our friend PFT Commenter, because he and I had made a friendly bet a summer ago. It actually wasn't a friendly bet. It was a lot of money. that Odell Beckham Jr. would dye his hair back to the blonde during the season last year. That, because remember, he got rid of it all. He was starting fresh. It was a sort of a baptism of sorts in Cleveland. And I said, that won't last. He'll go back to it. So he texted me to say that maybe I did win it. And he did dye his hair a certain color, but because of the things that he's interested in, it affected the color of his hair, which is very disgusting. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And there is nothing more panicky than when you have to search Twitter for something that's trending. It doesn't even have to be you. Whatever it is, it's like, what happened?
That is such a haunting description from PFT, but you're so right, Diana. I feel like Twitter owes us this, Diana. When something is trending, they need to show us the patient zero tweet, right? Like, because I'm going through all these different reaction tweets to everything that happened, and you're trying to wade through the muck, pun fully intended in this one, and find the original tweet, and it's so difficult. Don't they owe us that much, at least?
And then I'm, you know, looking on my phone and listening to the interview where they are discussing it, and you know, my fiance is like, he overhears, he's like, what are you listening to? You know, and I'm like, apparently Odell's into really weird things. I'm not really too sure. But yeah, I definitely think Twitter needs to A, get an edit button, and B, figure out a way to have a quick button that takes you directly to what's trending based on that tweet that got it popular. So they should be doing it the way your show should be doing, because I feel like you guys are always trending on Twitter. I wanted to make sure I say congratulations to you guys, by the way. I'm so excited for you two to be together. You're two of my favorite people at ESPN, and I'm so excited to see how this show is going to take off.
Well, you're one of our favorites, Diana. Yes, we know Diana. We'll be talking to you a lot around here. Hopefully, as the world comes back to normal, we'll get you in studio here, too. We can be one big happy family in all this, as our ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Rossini, joins us here on Chiné and Golic Jr. And so, Diana, since we're talking about wide receivers, we might as well go a different route and a cleaner route with one of them. DeAndre Hopkins got paid. Everyone's certainly not shocked by that, but it always brings up the question of who and what comes next, Diana, as we look for paydays going out around the NFL now.
Yes, you got to figure right now, everyone is going to want to get their deals wrapped up before week one. No one wants to take those risks with injury. So, you know, the Alvin Kamara situation in New Orleans got very dicey last week when word got out that this organization was willing to trade him for a first-round draft pick, which was all very true. That was not rumor. That was a true thing that they were looking. In fact, I was told that there were a few teams very interested, but in the end, it didn't work out. And the relationship between Kamara and Sean Payton has always been a really strong one. But as you guys know, Sean Payton is not afraid to make trades, and he's certainly not afraid to make trades of players that you would sort of be surprised about. He's done it. But the way it was explained to me over the weekend was they had a couple of really good conversations face to face, and there's no beef between them, and this thing is going to be getting done in the next 24 hours. So look to see Alvin Kamara getting this extension and being pretty happy and probably making his home in New Orleans for a long time.
Diana, speaking of the Saints and the one that got away, and also speaking of what goes down on Twitter, I was on Twitter right when you dropped the news regarding Clowney. Can you tell us about that process in which, you know, you sort of broke it, and also the impact of his signing, especially in Tennessee?
Well, it was hands down, by the way, one of the hardest stories I've ever broken in terms of the drama that came with it and the process, because we had known that the Titans were sitting back, just sort of watching the market, keeping an eye on it. We knew that they were interested, but it was really going to come down to money. And I had known the Saints wanted him. I just never knew how bad they wanted him. And when you know, Sean Payton and his staff went full throttle on this thing, flying down to see him face to face, spending 4 hours with him, along with the D-line coach, And you know, talking to sources with all three, meaning the Clowney's group, the Saints group, and the Titan group, you know, it's like everyone had their own version of what was happening. And so Saturday morning, you know, I felt very comfortable thinking that Jadeveon Clowney was going to wind up in New Orleans. And I can tell you, the Saints thought they were landing him. They thought this thing was wrapped up. And even though we all knew the number in terms of money wasn't going to be what he had been offered and what was being offered from other teams, the Saints felt like this was their kind of guy and that they were going to be able to close. And I was able to firm up in the afternoon that Clowney gave his word to Tennessee that he's going. And, you know, it got a little wild after that. You know, there were a lot of different stories being sort of floated out there and reported, and some of it I'm sure was true. But in terms of where Clowney or who Clowney informed, you know, it was Tennessee from the afternoon on. And now he's down there and talking to them over the last few days since this happened. It's interesting. They're thrilled to have him. There's no question, right? We know the relationship between the head coach, Mike Vrabel, and Clowney. They've been together. Clowney had his most productive years when he was in that Houston defense. But the one thing I do like about this Tennessee team is they have this identity about them, which is no identity, right? It's, Mike, we talked about it last year on your show, about how they call themselves hyenas. Like, they really look at themselves as a bunch of street rats that work together, and they're fine not having any gigantic superstars, even though Derrick Henry's their star. So I think while they're excited and talking to players about having such an incredible talent, I'd say probably the top free agent in the market after Tom Brady, to be part of their team, that the culture of that locker room is going to quickly adjust to, he's just going to be a Tennessee Titan, and the fireworks of, you know, JD joining a team are going to quickly fade here.
Diana, no doubt you did stellar work on that. We know it's high stakes. I mean, that's part of being a great reporter and insider, all the things that you do on this one. And so I'm curious why you took to Twitter to try and ruin Mina Kimes' life on her birthday.
Oh, my goodness. So when you tweet, you very rarely start thinking about the repercussions. At least I don't, right? Maybe I should probably get better at that. That's probably why I get in trouble so much. I just go, right? Like, I'm multitasking. Sometimes I'm at the gym. Sometimes I'm driving. Sometimes I'm talking on the phone. I'm tweeting, you know. And I just, you know, most people that follow Mina and I on Twitter know that we have a great friendship, and it's really hazing constantly. And so I thought it would be funny to wish Mina a happy 40th birthday. And my phone would not stop blowing up today, because people really think Mina is 40. Like, I thought that was an obnoxious age for how great she looks. I didn't realize I needed to make it 50, because people started to believe it, which, you know, the poor girl has like 17 jobs. She doesn't have time to reply, I'm only 35. But she's been replying to every person, I'm not 40, I'm 35. So apologies. I should make this public. I'm so sorry to Mina Kimes, but I'm really not. I'm so glad it worked out this way.
It's incredible. Diana, no stranger, by the way, to scaring the hell out of people with that. The first time I hung out with Diana, she told me and looked at me and asked how old I thought she was, and then proceeded to lie and tell me that she was 40. So she knows how to instill fear into the hearts of others using age as a weapon.
That's
and
my
this
big
one
sis right
was
there.
No exception. Diana, incredible as always. We're going to have you back around here a ton. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Thanks, Diana.
I want to be a regular, so anytime, you guys, I love you.
Absolutely. Diana Rossini, our great
ESPN. I don't think we have a choice in that. Like, she's going to come back.
If we don't have her back on, she will do that to us.
She will
at some
do that
point,
to us.
So
I want to stay young forever, so we must have her on as much as possible.
There we go. Great reporting, as always, from Diana, except when it comes to Mina's age, who is definitely not 40 years old. All right, coming up next, an interesting question I have for you, and really for the both of us. What's it like lining up and playing next to someone that you've watched and idolized for so long? We'll hear one example from the NFL next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
So, apparently, I've just been missing out on the gold mine that is Mike Malone for I don't know how long in the NBA. My
He's
man has
ish.
Been coming with every bit of the smoke recently.
Yeah, he's with the ish.
He turned it up today. Chinay and Golic Jr. is here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Thanks to Diane Russini, our ESPN NFL reporter, joining us in that last segment with plenty of straight talk. But, man, Mike Malone is keeping it up, Chinay. Now, you saw the other day, Mike Malone was the one that complained very loudly about NBA coaches not being able to bring family members into the NBA and into the bubble. And lo and behold, things got done with that pretty quick.
Yeah, and it does help when LeBron James calls it ridiculous on a public forum, a public platform. And that's something, like, you know, I'm super excited talking about the bubbles. My sister and the Sparks, they're doing well this season. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be bringing in guests. And I'm excited for my family that's going to go and join her in the bubble. That is necessary. But, like, just as invested the players are, the coaches are. They should be able to have their family, too. So I'm glad that they made this acquiesce. Is that the word?
Yeah,
They acquiesced, yes.
They did do that, and they made that happen. So Mike Malone apparently feeling emboldened, because we heard from Patrick Beverley, who talked about Nikola Jokic, said he was flopping a lot and all this stuff. And Mike Malone got asked about that as well, and Chinay, this is what he had to say. He said, well, I mean, I don't listen to Patrick Beverley a whole lot. If Kawhi Leonard was talking, maybe I would listen to it. Kawhi's a great player, but all you got to do is look at the stat sheet. Zubac attempted more free throws than Nikola Jokic. They shot 26 free throws. We shot 10. So I'm not really sure what Patrick is talking about or looking at, but I really don't warrant and give too much attention to that.
See, the thing is, and this is the meaning behind the meaning, Patrick Beverley will say things that are attention-worthy, but when you say them too often, we tend to not really care as much, right? Because you are the one that's constantly spewing these type of takes. That's what makes Patrick Beverley go, but that does not make Mike Malone go for his team, for the Nuggets. And it's true. Like, Kawhi, if he spoke, we'd all listen, but guess what? He doesn't speak that often, so we're still waiting.
We are still waiting on that one, but like, this feels like another version of what Pat Beverley, and we talk about this with the Morris twins all the time, like, they're there to get under your skin. So the minute you respond, you've already given credence to it. Like, now granted, he was asked directly in all these things, but this feels like exactly what a guy like Pat Bev wants.
Okay, it is what he wants, but there is a point to Coach Malone, because there were a couple plays down the stretch where Jokic, he got called for, I guess, like an offensive push-off, where he's not, and you know, this is what we love about him, and this is why he stands for our show here on Chinay and Golic Jr. He's a big boy. He said publicly, I don't run fast, so I gotta find different ways to get to the cup. And so yeah, he might push off here or there, but he's not pushing off the same way someone in transition hits you hard and throws you with your momentum. Like, he's just making his moves, and because they're slower, you can play with those. And it plays straight to the Patrick Beverleys of the world that can take that content and contact and fly. So there is a point to this. And I do think that some of those calls did change the momentum of the game, which affected the Nuggets losing possessions, which affected them eventually losing the game. So there's some truth to this declaration. But then again, this declaration also took the bait of Patrick Beverley, and he uses that as fuel.
Chinay and Golic Jr. reminding you, check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And Chinay, we're seeing it out there on Twitter right now. Some reports, we're waiting to hear it confirmed by our great reporters here at ESPN, rumblings that Giannis may be out for the game tonight. As we look at this here, would this be something that, like, if you were advising Giannis, if you were in his circle, what would you have told him one way or another on this?
Ooh, that's really tough. If I was in his circle, I would tell him not to play, just because that's a really tough position to be in. I know that you want to be that guy that is the redemption factor, the one that can bring your team back, even though you all collectively dug this hole. But it's not just a finals play. It's a franchise play. It is a future play. And when you play on an injury, like, sometimes athletes need to be protected from themselves. I always go back to Kevin Durant with the Warriors. He wanted to play. He wanted to be that game changer. But you sometimes need the franchise to jump in front of that and protect you from yourself. Because you heard it from Dominique Wilkins. We will go out there, and it's our instinct to want to put our bodies on the line. But sometimes that risk is too high.
It is, and you're right. The Kevin Durant example is a great one, and especially knowing how close next season is going to be to this timeline-wise, being cautious is probably the thing that the Bucks need to think about the most. We'll get plenty more on that and revisit some of the things going on in college football next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.